At this time, the chairperson should briefly qualify requirements for chairing a meeting at the Central Orlando Saturday night speakers meeting or 1 year of continuous sobriety and attendance at a group conscious meeting. My name is Brian. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date's April 23rd, 1989, and that's through God's grace. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous. It's given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And there are some things that I have to do. First, not drink. And then the other three things that I believe are important is to trust God, clean house, and help others. And my favorite part is helping others. Because I get to watch the miracle happen with them. And if you're new, just do the work. Follow directions, and you'll watch your life change. And I'm grateful to be sober. Thank you. The group asked me to remind you to please make sure your phones are off and to refrain from moving around or talking while the speaker is sharing. Okay. Introduce the speaker. I've known Dave for many, many years at Central Group. And one day he asked me to sponsor him. And, you know, first of all, to me, that's an honor and a pleasure to be asked to take somebody through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And before the steps, he was a broken man. And I said, well, we got through these steps, God, AA, people in these rooms. I got to see this man become a complete person on the inside. I got to see in his eyes that peace that he's been looking for his whole life. To me, that's the greatest honor ever in Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know what I'm grateful for? I'm grateful today that he allows me to be his friend. You know, because before Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't have any friends. And welcome. Please, here's Dave.
My name's Dave, and I'm an alcoholic. And this is, I'm nervous as hell, especially speaking in a room full of people. When I was out, and my sobriety date is August 20th, 2008. And what I was saying earlier, when I was out drinking in a bar and stuff, this was easy for me. I wanted to be the center of attention. There was no real problem for that. The more alcohol I had in me, the more I crave having people around me and just being that person up front, making a fool out of myself constantly. I grew up in a military family. I was born in Akron, Ohio in 1959. And I like to think that God put me in that place. That's where AA was born at many years ago. I was born in the hospital that Dr. Bob worked in. And I didn't find that out until a few years ago. So my God had, back then, even had a sense of humor, if I think about it. In fact, when I was growing up, we moved around a lot. 4 months ago, I didn't think I had any problems when I was a kid, but if I look back now that I've gone through these steps, there was a lot of fear in my life about a lot of things. I never had any friends growing up, but we moved around constantly. Got to the point I didn't want friends in my life. Why have friends? I was just going to move to the next state or the next space. Look at this. And my father was an alcoholic. There was a lot of abuse in my family, physical, towards my mother and me and my brothers. And I remember growing up, I didn't want to be like him. My greatest fear growing up was turning out to be an alcoholic like my father. And that's exactly what I turned into. Turned into the man I hated the most at that time. I never completed high school. I dropped out in 11th grade to join the service to get away from home. Went in the Coast Guard, served 8 years. And it was at that time when I was 17, when I got out of boot camp, that I started drinking when I went to the base for a Class A school for machinist technician. And that first night that I drank ever, got drunk, passed out, even in black, they told me I was in a blackout that night playing pool in the bar, and I don't remember nothing. Threw up, everything that could be done, I did. And right then I was off and running for the next, it was next 30 years, 31 years actually. Got married, had a son when I was 21 years old, got married when I was 19, so there I was, a kid having a kid. I wasn't ready for that. I thought that woman and that kid could save me. But when my son came along and my wife, I wasn't ready to settle down. I should have never gotten married. We wound up getting a divorce a couple years later. She tried to help me with my alcohol back then. I remember one time after I got out of service, I came home from work. There was a whole bunch of people in my house. My wife was there, my two brother-in-laws, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and this guy from some counseling service that was doing an interview, doing an intervention on me. I'd walk through the front door with a case of beer in my hand, and they wanted me to sit down and talk about drinking. I wanted nothing to do with it. I ran for the door, and I was off and running again. I didn't want to sit there and listen to them. They couldn't tell me nothing. Because at that time, I knew everything, so I thought. Wound up getting a divorce, and I lived on Martha's Vineyard for the next couple of years after that, just working and partying. That's all I did. Went through relationships. I'd meet a woman, get in a relationship, thought it could fix me, until she didn't want to drink anymore, and I'd get rid of her, too. I wanted a drinking buddy. I didn't want somebody to tell me I couldn't drink and settle down. That's not what I wanted. It was like that for the next 20 years until I moved to Florida. I moved to Florida in 89. And once again, I met a woman down here. We had a long-term relationship. We had a lot of good things happen. But she kept trying to control my drinking constantly. And I wasn't ready for that. In the meantime, while all that was going on too, I was sporadically going in and out of AA. When I was in the service, I went to my first meeting in 1980. That's a long time ago. When I went there, I had a brand new Trans Am. I was a young man, pocket full of money. And sitting in the back of the room, I saw the guys I see back there listening, going, these people are nuts. They can't tell me nothing. When I went outside that night at my first meeting, an older gentleman followed me outside. He had to be in his 70s then. And he looked at me, and he looked at my car, and he said, is that your pretty car right there? I said, yes, sir, it is. He said, well, if you keep on going the way you are, it ain't going to happen. I lost that car 6 months later because of drinking. And I still didn't see the correlation between the two. Never did through the whole time. I don't know, I was for 30 minutes. Let me get out of my class for a minute. There was times during the past 30 years, it was periods of sobriety. Not really, it wasn't sobriety, it was being dry. I'd go to AA meetings enough times just to get people off my back. Put together 4 or 5 months, people would back off and so I'd go out drinking again. They start getting upset. I say, well, fine, I'll go back to meetings again. They'd lay off, I'd do the same thing. I did it over and over. People were getting sick of it, started backing away from me. I didn't have friends. Just acquaintances in some bars. That's all there was. It came to the point a year and a half ago. Even coming, when I was coming here, I was in and out constantly. for the simple reason I never wanted to do these steps. If I could get it just by hanging around outside. There was a lot of people that tried to help me out of these rooms. And they saw the stuff I was going to and always said, Dave, you gotta work the steps. I was like, yeah. They'll work for you, but they won't work for me. And that's the way I thought. And on one of the things I used to do when I was coming to these meetings, I always cleaned up pretty quick. I'd get a job back, get a pocket full of money again, and I'd be right back out the door. Constantly. And it was at one time in August, a year and a half ago, I had enough money saved up to get my driver's license back. I was buying a truck for my roommate. I had a good job. And like always before, I got a wild hair across my ass, but I knew what I could do. Within 10 days, I had spent almost $3,000. And there was a tropical storm setting on this thing. I can't remember the name. I think it was Faye. There was a lot of rain. No wind or anything, just a lot of rain. And I wound up in a hotel, a little dive hotel down in the South Trail. Woke up that morning, wondering what I was and what I was doing here again. Looking in the mirror, why do I keep doing this to myself? Walked back up here from down there. And there was a girl here. She was a good friend of mine, and she helped me out for a little bit. Enough where I can get back on my feet. And it got to that point. At that time, I knew I couldn't drink anymore. I didn't really want to drink, but I still didn't want to do this. I was caught like on that fence post, like jumping from one side to the other. I didn't know where to go. I got a job back, started getting money back in my pocket again. And that Christmas in 2008, I was staying in that apartment by myself out in Altamont Springs. I wasn't coming to this group. I was going to meetings out there, Happy Hour Group and Rebo's Club. And it was Christmas Eve. I had gotten a small bonus. I went walking across the street to the Altamont Mall, which is up at 436. And there was a bar there I used to drink at. I saw all these people in there. And I just started, I was walking around it. I wanted to drink that bad. I didn't want to drink, but I wanted to drink. I wanted to be in there with the people. I didn't want to be alone. And I was literally shaking. I just kept walking around. I tried calling people, and I kept getting answering machines and their voicemails. And I sat down on the curb. Sat there and watched those people for a little bit longer. And I looked up to the sky and said, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. If I go in there, I don't know if I'd be back in these rooms again. I really didn't. And there was a relief that came over me at that point. And I didn't do the steps yet. But that's when a higher power saved me that one time from drinking. And I've heard people in these rooms share that before, and I never believed it. It felt like somebody was just rubbing the back of my head. I felt that relief. And I didn't come back here to Central until about February 2009, when I moved back in with a roommate of mine. I live up in College Park. And even when I was coming here to meetings, I was coming to 5 or 6 a week, but I still wasn't working the steps yet. I thought I'd get it just by sitting in the back of the room and not doing what was suggested to me. And it doesn't work like that. It took me a long time to realize until I was 48 years old. There was a few other things that happened in the last year. I had to go to jail for some records of my past. So yes, you can go to jail sober too, believe me. Don't go to Seminole County though. That jail sucks. I wound up doing 2 months there. Came back here and had a It was about November of last year. When a friend of mine, well, a man that turned out to be my sponsor, saw me come out of the meeting. He would ask me weeks before how I was doing. I would always go, oh, I'm fine. He just, yeah. They all knew. I hadn't worked the steps yet. I might have looked like I was smiling, but I was miserable on the inside. And he told me right out front, he said, if you don't do these steps, you will drink again and it will kill you. And I believed him. This time I believed him. I've heard it 100 times before, but I never believed it. And this man and I got together and we worked. It took me a month and a half, but we worked the steps. And my life, not so much the things around me has changed. It's the way I look at things has changed a lot. The way I handle things is a lot different. There's still days I get angry. I'm not perfect. I never will be. And if anybody thinks they are, they're fooling themselves. There's no such thing as a perfect human being. A lot of the dreams I've had over the years have been wasted because of alcoholism. I'm still fairly young. There's a lot of things I want to do. And by me working these steps, it's really, I don't know, it's just changing. When Brian was introducing me, I almost had tears in my eyes because I never had true friends before. Not friends that really care, just friends in a bar that did how much money you got, who's buying the beer. And if you're out, they wanted nothing to do with it. I went to the Daytona last weekend with some friends. And one of them, well, somebody hasn't spoken to me in a while because he didn't trust me anymore. And this gentleman's been sober a long time. He called me up last weekend after he went to the race. I saved his voicemail, so it means a lot to me. He was like, Dave, it was a pleasure being around you. I had a good time. It's been a long time since somebody said that to me. Once upon a time when I was drinking, nobody wanted to be around me. I didn't want to be around me. Just got to that point. Got to that point, I was even an asshole to myself. That makes any sense. I have trouble speaking for 2 minutes during the meeting, much less what, almost 15 now? Still can't believe I'm up here. I remember calling my sponsor this morning, telling him I didn't want to be here. I wasn't going to show up, and he told me the only way I could get out of it was I was dead. And I didn't sound dead to him, so I better show up. There's quite a bit. Almost everybody I called today told me that same thing. You don't sound dead. You better show up. Another friend of mine met me at the mall because I wouldn't have come here. I don't think I would. I might have. Might have passed by, but I wouldn't have stopped. I've done that for years. There was times I was out drinking, I'd fly by this place. Not this building particularly, but the one that used to be next door. I drove by it one night throwing beer bottles at it. I swear to God I did. They were laying in the yard the next morning when I came to a meeting. Can't believe I did that. It's not... So are you. What it was, when I look back on it, when I was doing stuff like that, it's because I hated the people here, too. Because they had something I wanted and I didn't know how to get it. I saw how they did it, and I didn't see this stuff working for me. The main reason it never worked for me is I never did it. There were times I had a couple sponsors. I would go through part of the steps. I'd do up to 4 and 5. Tell them a little bit about things going on in my life and in my past. But I'd always leave out these two little key points I never told anybody. And those two little secrets, those two little skeletons in your closet, that one you will never tell, is the one that's going to take you right back out the door. Because it did it to me for years. I thought that nobody ever done anything like that. I was wrong. So whatever, if anybody in here thinks that they haven't worked these steps yet and having trouble, and they think that one little secret that nobody's ever done, I got news for you. Somebody's done it. We're all in here together. I never used to think that either. I've had people in the past few months be real supportive towards me. Because they finally see me doing this deal. There was years they literally backed away. People in AA backed away from me. Like people when I was out drinking backed away from me. Because they didn't know who I was. I didn't know who I was. Until they saw me working the steps and walking in this walk, doing what I was supposed to do. People started coming back. And that one man I was talking about, was, I'm sure some people around here probably know him, John Powell. Last year I asked him to be my sponsor when I came back here, and he told me he didn't trust me anymore because I had a cocky attitude. Just maybe a little. It wasn't that bad, I don't know. I remember one time coming back here after I'd been on one of my little sprees, and I asked him to sponsor me again. And John has a bad habit of looking after over the top of his glasses. First of all, he'll kind of zero in on him and he'll do this to you. And he looked at me and I smiled at him and he said, "You're not done. You've got that cocky grin on your face again." And he was right. He was totally right. I wasn't. There was also times in back years ago when I was up in New Hampshire before I moved down here. A lot of people up there that try to help me in AA were kind of like that too. They said I was a cocky, snot-nosed kid. I was 30 years old. I didn't see that. I always had that cocky attitude. And these past few months, I like to think I've become a little bit more humble about a lot of things. I don't take this for granted. I can't. I don't want to die out there on the streets where I land up. There was points in the past 20 years since I've been here, I did wind up on the streets. Sleeping underneath bridges down here. There used to be a place called the Lamar Hotel. The place was rough, man. I lived there, I worked there as a security guard, and I drank there. Right in that little block. Never left it. So when I didn't wind up dead there. I went to a few treatment centers while I've been here too. But I never listened to them either. They always, same thing everybody else told me. I was cocky. They said, "You think you know everything? Go on." And I did. I showed them. Showing what I knew, nothing. Even when just lost my train of thought. Over the years, besides my wife, there was only one other long-term relationship I was in. And that was this girl I met down here in 92. We were together until 2000. We had bought a house and everything. We had a condo, house. I had everything I thought I wanted in life. I had the woman, all the toys, everything. And I remember one morning I woke up and I was sitting out back on a porch. And she came out and looked at me and said, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I'm not happy. This does not make me happy." I left all that. I jumped in my truck, moved into a little ass hotel, and drank. And I wasn't happy there either. I was miserable. I don't want to get on to what this has done for me. It's enough about the past and everything. In these few short months, the first year of my sobriety is basically dry. But in these few short months, I've done these steps. And it's like I said earlier, my whole life, it's made a complete 180 from where I was. I've tried to get involved in this group a little bit. Maybe not as much as I should, but I've been busy at work. I've tried to make at least 5 meetings a week. Minimum of 5. And I go to different meetings too. I come here, this is my home group. I have a lot of friends here. At least I didn't fall out. And all I'm trying to say is that anybody in here is struggling. You all right, man? All right. No, if there's anybody struggling in here, besides the guy falling out of the chair, I strongly suggest don't do what I did the first year. Don't sit in the back of the room. It won't do you any good. I used to sit back there. Now I sit up here in the front on any meeting I come to. I remember coming here one night and I came and somebody was sitting in that chair. I didn't know where to sit. So I'm so used to sitting right here. I want to see everybody. I don't want to sit in the back and be part of a wallflower anymore. I was that way my whole life. Get a sponsor and work these steps. And I guarantee it'll change your life. Don't hold back anything on this step work. Because it's changed mine. And I was glad to be here up here in front of you and share and speak tonight. Thank you.